The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute, and when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke and the crowds were amazed. Some of them said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." The Gospel of the Lord. There's something about this particular passage and its position in Lent, in this sacred season, that I think gives us a bit of impetus. It really does give us a push into the second half of the season, right? We've kind of crossed that line, and so now it's okay in that kind of regathering space where we need to collect ourselves and probably all our stuff, right? Whatever it is we're carrying around, we're going to collect ourselves, and we're going to set off again. We're going to drive it home, as it were. Jesus is going to drive it home. We have to see that, you know, everything that is being accomplished, and this is, by the way, in the spiritual realm, yeah, in the sense of all the many victories that Jesus is winning in us and through us, and certainly all the many victories that he wants to achieve, whether they're part of, say, the success of our Lenten disciplines, or really just the overawing grace of the season, it's all his. And so he's the one who's in control. He's the one who's affecting the reality that he is seeking to affect. And so we're then not tempted to, perhaps, or perhaps less tempted to turn to ourselves, you know, as the source of strength and wisdom and brilliance and the rest, and instead keep looking to him, no matter what our experience of the season has been, and then of course will be. So where you have it in the middle of the passage, "But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons," which harkens back to the Exodus, where one of the plagues that God unleashes on Egypt is a plague of lice, yeah. And anybody who has school age children knows what a horrible plague that is. You know, anyone trying to run a school, it's like, we just got to shut this place down. This is ridiculous. You know, okay. So no, there's not a lice problem in the school. Okay, don't want to sound the alarms on that. Okay. We're not, as I scratch my head, okay, yeah, I've made myself, this is really coming off the rails, yeah. But what happened is that the magicians could not reproduce it. They couldn't reproduce that particular plague. And so they say, it is by the finger of God. Yeah, and so Jesus knows what people hear. I'm not going to hear about lice when he says finger of God, okay, but talking about the power of God that cannot be replicated, right? Cannot be, say, in that sense, closely imitated, even, right? And here, what Jesus is doing, driving out demons, namely, ridding Israel of the disfiguring forces of, say, we can say, demon possession, but also the rule of sin and death and the power of the Satan, allows for then the freedom. That the freedom of God and the liberation of Israel to be God's people at last. And it's by, again, his power that liberation is being effected, right? Just, again, the liberation from Egypt and slavery, but now also slavery to the dark powers of sin and the Satan. Okay, I want to kind of hone in on that just a little bit and say, you know, what are we talking about? The liberation from sin, freedom to be who we're made to be, and then talk about the powers, and especially the powers that are under the dominion of the Satan. Okay, well, we can look at in our own lives the many instances of our own sin. Yeah, and our sin would be where we're not giving God the glory with everything we've got. We're not praising Him in all things, and we're not bringing flourishing to His corner of creation, to the corner of creation He's entrusting to our care. Another way to say that is our sin is, you know, anywhere that we are acting out of say motivation or an animating power that is something other than self-giving love. Where we're in those territories or in those realms, we're operating out of something that isn't self-giving love. And I think the usual one is something like anger, right? Where we feel ourselves motivated by anger, or perhaps we feel ourselves motivated by fear, right? Those are perhaps the two most common, say, natural tendencies. Those are powers and spaces that are under the dominion of the Satan. So the victory that God is intending us to win, the victory that Jesus is accomplishing by the finger of God, the liberation that's being affected is all those places where we have otherwise bound ourselves. So we say, okay, this temptation to act out of anger or fear or something other than self-giving love, okay? But we've all done it. We've all done it already. Yeah, that's what a sin is. Okay, so we've all done it. We've chained ourselves by our sin to acting in that way. The Satan has that victory. Jesus is on the scene in order to break the chain that we have forged in our sin to liberate us from that, say, animating power and free us then for service of God, for the inflow and outflow of self-giving love. Okay, this is the victory that God wants to achieve. The victory is Jesus's. Here already in the passage, right, he's saying, I have overcome the strong man. You know, I have, because in the wilderness, right, he went the way of self-giving love, fighting back all of the temptations that are common to us that derail or disfigure us. I say disfigure us, right, because we are people with faces. Yeah, we're animals with faces. We're outward-looking animals. So we look outward toward God in praise, right, in adoration, and we look at the world and especially this everything that God is entrusting to us, we look out at with thanksgiving. Disfigurement means the face is, there's something wrong with the face, okay? I know there's something wrong with my face, okay? But there's something wrong with the face. And it's, so we're not looking out in the way that we ought to be looking out, either in adoration or in thanksgiving, right? So we're all kind of scrunched up in our own particular way, okay? That's a great disfigurement. And Jesus has come to bring, say, renewal to our faces in that sense, right? He's come to bring renewal to Israel to liberate us from the disfiguring forces. Okay, again, in Lent, I'm doing idolatry like just below the surface here because you get bored if I say things the same way all the time. Okay, so I'm doing the idolatry stuff again. Sorry, I had to say it because you've got to make the connections clear sometimes. So, but this is what's happening, right? Is that we've allowed forces, or we've even given ourselves over to the powers, and Lent is about going back into those spaces and allowing Jesus to win the victory. Okay, that's massive work, by the way, isn't it? I mean, it entails suffering. Because where we've done it, we've done perhaps what comes naturally. We've been motivated to do it because we get something out of it. Have you ever thought about the kind of, I don't know, the the real kind of murky and deadly stuff of your sins is that you look at it and go, I'm getting something out of that actually. Like I don't like the way that I'm acting there, but I'm acting there because I'm getting something out of it. That's some tough stuff, right? We all have gossip problem, yeah? I throw it out there because everybody does it. Okay, so no comment. Okay, so so we have a gossip problem, but it's so hard to stop because you're getting something out of it. We always act for the good, right? This is like a philosophical maxim. The human being always acts for the good, but that good for us is very often simply a perceived good. And our perception is, again, we're disfigured, so our perception is a bit off. But we're doing it because we get something out of it. It's a perceived good. So then we have to go back and allow Jesus to fight the battle there and overcome the Satan. So this is what I think the thrust of the second half of our Lenten season is. Eyes on Jesus, because he's the one who's leading us into battle there, and he's giving us the power to overcome. But he's already won the victory, here already in the wilderness, and then all the way to the cross. That's the victory over the powers. This is where he breaks the backs of the powers. Yeah, and so now the rain of self-giving love can fill us and flood the earth. But we have to allow him to fight that battle in us and achieve that victory through us.